with me in the studio is Joel Katz, and he is here today to talk about some stuff. He has a history with the Carpenter Center and also with the Virginia Performing Arts Foundation. And Joel, thanks for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Well, good afternoon.
Thank you very much. You've been behind the scenes of a lot of great shows coming to the Carpenter Center for a long time, and it's great to finally meet you in person and talk to you and get your background a little bit, because you know I used to actually live near there, and we used to always see some great shows coming to the Carpenter Center. So
yeah, I remember walking by your place because you like lived on a box. In a box in the sidewalk, side of an abandoned building. You know,
almost.
Fond, I have very fond memories of that neighborhood. No, thanks. This is my 10th year in Richmond, and 9 wonderful years at the Carpenter Center, and probably did 1,000 shows in 9 years, some that we promoted, some that we got others to promote, and some that just sort of happened. But that Hornsby cut brings back a lot of memories, too, because that was one of the last things 64 Magazine did, mm-hmm. and they did it with tremendous class and style.
Yes, they did. The you said you've been in Richmond 9 years, and did you come to the Richmond for the Carpenter Center? Or
I did. I came to be the executive director of the Carpenter Center in 95, and assembled a terrific team of people who served the community with me for 9 years. I have been in the performing arts and entertainment business for, gee whiz, over 20, almost 25 years now, and it's been a great ride.
Fantastic. Where did you come from before Richmond?
I have, like so many performing arts directors, done a little traveling in my career. Mm-hmm. I am very proud to have built and operated the Maine Center for the Arts at the University of Maine for its first 8 years of existence back in the 80s and early 90s. Moved down to Florida and operated a small performing arts venue in Fort Lauderdale for a few years before I responded to the opportunity up here in Richmond. And got here, I think it was December of 95, and walked into the office. There was a cat living in the window. There was 12 typewriters in the office and no computers, and the place reeked of cigarette smoke. But we started, we built a team, and for the first couple of years, I just kind of watched Richmond and watched the shows that came through until I felt I understood the marketplace and the capacity of the building. And we started promoting shows. I think the first show we promoted was Sesame Street, because I had little kids at the time, and they liked Big Bird, and everybody likes to bring their kids to shows. And from there, literally, we probably promoted close to 1,000 shows in the last 9 years.
That's fantastic. So we bring that stuff downtown Richmond. The Carpenter Center, too, it has so much history. I mean, it's so much, you know, I don't know how it compares to overall, but I'd say it's a pretty interesting venue for its history, nothing else.
It is. It's gone on 78 years old. It is one of probably 20 or so old movie houses that were converted into live performing arts venues across the country. It was a Lowe's theater, as many of your listeners' parents might know, and fell into disrepair and closed for a brief period, and then was resurrected by the community in the early 80s as a performing arts center. And it has been a very successful venue since. And a couple of years ago, we celebrated the 75th anniversary of the building with a lot of concerts, and we published a little book and showed the original movie that opened the Lowe's Theater in 1927. It was a fun year. It was a fun year.
That's fantastic. Now, yeah, I came to Richmond a long time ago too. I was interested in music also. Of course, I didn't have the background that you did, and it's great to see that sort of stuff go on. How would you describe the? I have my own ideas about it, but it's always interesting to hear other people's perceptions of the Richmond market per se.
I think it's a misunderstood market. A lot of shows don't seem to do as well here as they might in other communities. I think the market is very sophisticated. Tremendous number of college students, faculty, and staff. So there's a real core of music and arts lovers in this community. But we've asked them to come downtown to a horrible neighborhood with closed buildings everywhere and some of the worst parking in the show business history. So it's a struggle sometimes to get folks out of their comfortable living rooms to come downtown and take the trip. But if the name was strong enough and the price was right, we sold out the building on a pretty regular basis.
That's fantastic. You know, it's something that, you know, it's been sort of a perception that I always struggle with because, you know, you talk about the abandoned buildings and all that, and certainly that's true. I can't sugarcoat that. However, at the same time, for me, coming as a young person into Richmond, it was almost this great playground full of great architecture and all this great history, and to see all the stuff going on was amazing. And the fact that a lot of people didn't respect it or didn't view it as such or didn't patronize it as much. Just left more for me, I felt like sometimes, and I may be kind of greedy, but I guess, you know, I guess it's interesting to say that and to look also what's been done in the past to try to bring people downtown. And, why don't you talk about some of the shows that you had that were most successful and, you know, some of your high points, you think?
Well, one of the great things about running a theater is you can bring, artists to town that you've known for years and help a community discover them maybe for the